How's everyone? If you have been with us and haven't been falling asleep in the meeting, you probably know that I have been going through a series of talks on the various places in the Bible. And if you remember, we also started at the Garden of Eden, and then we went through a few other places. And some of you may be wondering how many Bible places we're going to talk about, because there are thousands of Bible places in the Bible, isn't it? So if I have to go through all the important places in the Bible, it will take a long, long time. But good news is that today I've come to the last one, okay? I've come to the last one of the Bible places, and it's actually a quite important one as well, which is Jerusalem. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to ask the Lord to help us to get through this this place and understand what it is, what is the significance of this to us today, and what are the brief history about it. So we're going to go through that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can come to you and to be able to worship you and to be able to think about what it means for you to be with us. Lord, we know that in your heart, you always want to be with your people. You have set up tabernacle in the wilderness. You have set up a temple in Jerusalem. And you want a place where man and you can meet together without any hindrance. But the tabernacle is no more, and the temple is no more. Where are we meeting you today? Lord, show us what the significance of this place, Jerusalem, is, and help us to understand. Lord, we commit this time into your hands. In your most precious name I pray. Amen. Well, when I mention the word Jerusalem, what is the first feeling that comes to you? What is the first thing that comes to you? Or some of you may think that, well, it's too far away. Okay, we're in Australia, across a few oceans, and Jerusalem is just too far away. Some of you may think that, well, Jerusalem is a place that we always read about in the news. Okay, 2017, December, America decided to suddenly recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and that suddenly caused a lot of troubles all over the world. People were up in arms, especially the Muslims, because they think that Jerusalem is a shared zone. Jerusalem should be eventually belong to the Muslim, and then all the Jews would be pushed into the sea. And that's what they believe. But we know that Jerusalem today is a place that is full of conflicts. It's a place that is full of conflicts for many, many years throughout history. But it's a place that share its importance by various different religions. The Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, they all see Jerusalem as a place, as a holy place to all of their faith. How about you and I today in Australia, in Sydney? What is the significance of it? I think really it's important to understand a bit about the history and then look at the scripture and see what the scriptures say about Jerusalem and about what it means to all of us. We know that Jerusalem is the name that has been mentioned more than 800 times in the Bible. All right, there's a lot of times that has been mentioned. Apart from the word Jerusalem, it has also been called the Zion, the holy city, the city of God, the city of David, the city of the great king, and so forth. So if you want to count all those other names as well, that's certainly many, many times it has been mentioned in the Bible. It is supposed to call a city of peace, but we know that it has never seen any peace for a long, long time. Why is it so special to us? Why is it so special to all those people, to the Jews, to the Muslims, to the Christians? Let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible says first. We just take two scriptures out of the 800 over scriptures that mentioned the name Jerusalem. Psalm 122, verse 1 and 2, it says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Psalm 125, verse 1 and 2. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. These two psalms, the whole psalms, actually will be good for you to go home and read it, because they are really quite a joyful psalm, especially those who are traveling to Jerusalem. And we know that many, many Jews has been dispersed all over the world before 1948, when a lot of them came back to the land. And of course, they have gone through a tragedy of the Holocaust during the Second World War. Many Jews lost their life. But Jews all over the world, whenever they sit together for a meal, a lot of them will sing a song called Next Year in Jerusalem. And they always think about Jerusalem. They also think about going back to Jerusalem. Even though what was mentioned here in these two psalms cannot be fulfilled today, because they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord in Jerusalem is no more. But they always sing this song next year in Jerusalem. It is a special place. It's a tiny little city, 2,500 feet above sea level. Compared to Sydney, compared to Shanghai, Beijing, it is tiny, small. But yet it is so important. Because once the house of the Lord, the temple was there. It was special because of that. It was special because God had chosen it to set the temple. Let's go back into the history and see the 3,000 years of Jerusalem that was mentioned in the scriptures. We have to be very brief, and we have to understand what is the significance to us today. Jerusalem, if you look at the map, it's in an area which is linking Africa, Europe, and Asia. It's in the place which is called the cradle of civilizations. And we know that if you go through history, you find that many great civilizations happen in that area. It is a very central place. It's neither Asia or Europe, neither Africans. It is in the center of everything. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, we saw the first mention, even though not by name, but it's a mention of a place called Mount Moriah. And that place is actually right in the center of Jerusalem. Now, let's look at verse 1 and 2 of Genesis 22. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you. Abraham took Isaac, and they went for 3 days' journey until he reached that place. Obviously, he knows there is a place out of one of those mountains there where God wants to show him, and where there is a place that he's going to sacrifice Isaac. Interestingly, the Muslim think that it was not Isaac. The Muslim think that it was actually Ishmael that Abraham is sacrificing that day. They turned it around because they are the descendants of Ishmael. Now, as Abraham set Isaac up on this rock, and that will later become more significant as you look through the history. And the Jewish tradition also say that this is also the place where Jacob has his dream about the ladder that connecting heaven and earth. So it is a special place. It's a place that God will show David one day that he is to help his son Solomon to build the temple. Now we look at this rock on this top of this mountain, and we find that it is a special place that God has chosen for the temple to be built. So as Abraham lay Isaac on this rock and was about to sacrifice his only son, the only son that has any possibility of continuing God's promise to him that his descendants shall be the stars in the sky, shall be the sands like on the seashore. But this only hope that promised to be fulfilled, God wants him to sacrifice. And so as Abraham going to sacrifice his son, he was halted by an angel, and then God provided a lamb that was caught in the bushes, and that lamb became a replacement for Isaac on that mountain. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, we see that same mountain being mentioned again. Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David, at the place that David has prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And that was at about 1000 BC. We know that since the time of Abraham and Isaac, and then they went to Jacob and so forth, and the people of Israel went to Egypt and stayed there for many years. Later on, Joshua, Moses, and they led the people of Israel out of Egypt, and Joshua took the people of Israel across the river Jordan and entered into Jericho and so forth. And later on, when it comes the time of David, the city of Jerusalem, where Mount Moriah is, was occupied by the Jebusites. It is a stronghold, a strong city. But David and his men was able to conquer it. And God revealed to David, this is the place where the house of God, the temple, will be built. It's not a coincidence. It's a place that God had chosen. And we know that because of the vast riches that Solomon has, the temple was really beautifully built. And when the temple was built and it was dedicated to God, that day the glory of God, like a cloud, filled the temple, so much so that the priests could not continue to minister in that temple. That is the place that God and man finally have a permanent place where they can meet together. The glory of God filled that place. The temple was beautiful, but more importantly, God was there with them. But even then, things could not last very long. After 367 years, there was a warning by the prophet Jeremiah that people of Israel, despite the beautiful temple there, their heart has been attracted by idols. They began to worship idols and they have sinned against God. Solomon passed away and then his kingdom divided. The 10 tribes of Israel had set up their place of worship or the capital in Samaria. And Judah and Benjamin, they kept on using the temple for worship. But still, many of the kings, many of their people worship idols. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel even recorded that he saw the glory of God, left the place, left the temple, left Israel, and gone off elsewhere. In 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians destroyed the temple, destroyed Jerusalem, and taken captive many of the people, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and took them to Babylon as slaves. There is a history that many of us have read from the scriptures and understand that it is something shameful in the history of the people of Israel who claim to have God, the true and living God in their midst, and yet they were destroyed, they were taken captives. After 70 years, there is a new king, and he allowed some of the Jewish remnants to return to Jerusalem. And the temple is rebuilt under Zerubbabel. And many of the people who were at the first temple when it was dedicated, many of them probably young people, maybe in their teenage years, 15, 20 years old, they've been taken captive into Babylon and then they've been brought back to Jerusalem. And now after 70 years, they could be their 80s and 90s. These old people, when they saw the foundation stone being laid for the second temple, for this temple that was built by Zerubbabel, over the remains of the first temple, they cry. Even though there are lots of shouts of joy, but these people, they cry. Perhaps they saw the glory of the first temple before, and when they saw the second temple, appearance of this temple, they just couldn't help themselves. They remember what happened over that 70, 80 years old, that the temple was destroyed and the people were taken away for captives. And finally, they are back. They were able to relay the foundation to rebuild the temple, even though in a much more humble sort of a style compared to the temple that Solomon built. And they used that temple for another 400 or 500 years until 20 BC when the Romans took over the place, and Herod, being a representative of the Romans, he wanted to please the local people, the Jewish people, and he volunteered to rebuild a temple. He's actually built a new temple, but in order to please the local, he said, I'm just renovating the old temple. But he actually eventually rebuilt the temple to a much grander scale. That temple took many years to build. Started from 20 BC, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at that time, the temple building was still continuing. It did not stop until 64 AD. Took about 80 years. It's a huge temple. And Herod was able to get the agreement of the local people to build this temple because he hired about 1,000 priests. So that these 1,000 priests could train as nations, they can build the temple, and they can enter into the holy place without any opposition from the local Jewish people. But that temple was prophesied by the Lord Jesus in the gospel that it will be destroyed. And it was eventually destroyed after Jesus' time in AD 70 by General Titus, together with about a million of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It was a terrible time. And if you read the records by Josephus, we know that it was a terrible time, that some of the things that happened to the inhabitants of Jerusalem was really, really terrible. Jesus saw that temple, and the disciple was excited by the temple, about how beautiful it is. But Jesus, in Matthew 24, verse 1 and 2, he says, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciple came out to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see that all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus' word came to pass in AD 70. Every stone of the temple was being lifted and thrown away, because there are many gold employed in the temple. As the temple was on fire, many of the gold melted and then went to the gaps of the stones, and they keep pushing the stones away to get to the gold. And the temple was destroyed exactly as what Jesus has prophesied. Jesus, look at the city of Jerusalem. This is a place, a city of peace, a place where his father's house was supposed to be. And yet, it is a place that he finds no rest. Many a time, Jesus went to Jerusalem, all he met is oppositions, persecutions from the Pharisees, the scribes. He finds no peace there. He always gone away from Jerusalem and went to Bethany, where there are people who welcome him, where there are people who love him, where there are hospitality that he could not find in Jerusalem. Matthew 23, verse 37, 39, Jesus cried when he saw Jerusalem from afar. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as the hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus was heartbroken over this city. And after the time of Jesus, after the time of the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, the Romans continued to occupy the place. And after the Romans, it's the Byzantine period, and then the Muslim came in 686 AD. And the Muslim armies occupied the place and they built two structures on top of this mount, Temple Mount. They built a mosque that has a silver dome, and then they built another mosque that has a golden dome. And there is a more famous one, it's called the Dome of the Rock. Why is it called the Dome of the Rock? When you go inside to that mosque, you'll see there's a big rock. And the tradition says that that rock is exactly the same rock that Abraham sacrificed Isaac on. And to the Muslim, that's where Abraham sacrificed Ishmael on. They claim that place as their own. The other things about this mosque is that there are lots of inscriptions in Arabic, both inside and outside. And one of those inscriptions says that God should not be a man, that he should have a son. It's basically saying something that Jesus is not the Son of God. And that structure had been standing there for 1300 years. It's a continuing insult to the Lord Jesus. What would be the end of this place? We do not know yet. But what is the significance of Jerusalem, as I mentioned, is brief history. What is that to us today, as believers who are living in a different continent, in a different time and different place? It's very important to know that Jerusalem is always still in the heart of God. If you look at Paul's letter in Romans, he actually has a heart, has place about Jerusalem, that saying that one day all the Jews will be safe and Jerusalem will be delivered. It is like a time clock of God's plan on earth. We have to watch it, we have to pray for it, and we have to understand God's plan as to look at this nation evolving. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 4 tells us that one day another temple will be built. How is it going to be built when there are two mosques on top of the Temple Mount? We do not know. But one day a temple will be built and Antichrist will be sitting inside of this temple and he will receive the worship of Jews, of others, and who will come and worship him. There is a time that the Lord, that God will bring about the tribulations in this place, in this earth. And then, according to Zechariah chapter 14, the Lord Jesus will come back on Mount Olives, and he will touch his feet there, and he will bring a conclusion to the battle of Armageddon. We do not know how is that going to be worked out, but we are waiting for it. Jerusalem is special. Watch it, pray about it, and see what God is doing there. Now I'm going to talk about what is the spiritual significance of Jerusalem to us as believers today. Can we look at John chapter 2 verse 18? Now remember, the setting of this few verses is that Jesus went to the temple and he saw the money changers, he saw the people selling pigeons and various animals to make it easier for people to offer sacrifice in the temple. But Jesus was very, very angry seeing all these things. And he took the whip of cords and then he whipped the people and threw away the money changers' coins on the floor and turned over the tables and so forth. Then the Jewish leaders demanded to know by what authority that he has done these things. In verse 18 we saw, "What are you doing? If God gives you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it." "All right," Jesus replied, "destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." "What?" they exclaimed. "It has taken 46 years to build this temple." In fact, they were still building when Jesus cleansed the temple. "And you can rebuild it in 3 days?" But when Jesus said this temple, he meant his body. The disciples later on found out that Jesus said this because he will resurrect in 3 days after he was killed. His body was the temple. His body will be a sacrifice that will satisfy God's wrath because of our sins. And that's where we will meet God, through him. The temple was supposed to be a place where God and man will meet together. Jesus make it possible that in him, we and God can meet together, can be reconciled together. And that is the temple that Jesus mentioned. Remember I talked about after Solomon, the nation of Israel split, and 10 nations went and set up their base, their capital in Samaria. One day Jesus was going to Samaria. In fact, he purposely wanted to go to Samaria, while most Jewish people would not want to go through it. They would probably take a long way and took a long winding way to bypass Samaria because they don't like the place and they don't want to meet the local occupants in that city. Jesus decided that he must go through there. And then he met a woman there by the well. And at the conversation, Jesus mentioned this to her. "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. But the time is coming," verse 23, "indeed it is here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Can you see what Jesus is trying to tell her? In fact, what Jesus is trying to tell us. There will come a time where it's neither on this mountain in Samaria or in Jerusalem that you need to go to worship God. But whoever worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. That is exactly what he meant, that this body, if you destroyed it, it will be raised in 3 days. Jesus' body as a sacrifice for us, dying for us on the cross, and through him, if you believe in him, then you are able to begin worship God in spirit and in truth. Because his spirit will come and live in us. And according to that truth, we can worship God. We can meet God wherever we are. We can meet God in China. We can meet God in Cambodia. We can meet God here, right here in Sydney. Doesn't matter what time it is. Doesn't matter whether it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We can meet God where? In spirit and in truth. It's neither here or in Jerusalem. Whatever place it is, doesn't matter. In spirit and in truth, that's where we can meet God. But are you able to? If you have never put your faith, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you could not meet him. You could not worship him in spirit and in truth. I really pray that you understand what this means and examine where you are at today spiritually. Are you able to worship God in spirit and in truth now? If you can, praise the Lord. That will be so precious. Because the earthly Jerusalem is only a place that it signifies something else even greater later on. And one day, this earthly Jerusalem will totally be replaced, renewed by a new Jerusalem that is coming out of heaven. And we read that in Revelation 21, verse 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That is what we are longed for. Today, if we believe in the Lord Jesus, we can worship Him right now in spirit and truth. But one day, we will gather together in that place where the New Jerusalem, where God Himself will be the temple. Because if you read further on in verse 22, it says, I saw no temple in it. It is not needed anymore. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are His temple. The city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it. The glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. God and Jesus is the focus of this New Jerusalem, where all the believers will go. All those who can worship Him in spirit and in truth now will one day gather over there with them in that new place. So this great city, Jerusalem, today it is still full of conflicts. And in future, it will continue to have conflicts until Jesus returns and bring peace to that place. So today we will watch over it. We will pray about it. And we also pray for ourselves in terms of our own relationship with God and where it is at. And think about whether we can really worship Him in spirit and in truth now. If you're not sure about it, I really hope that you can go and talk to someone who can help you. Let's pray. So we come to the end of this sharing about Jerusalem, but may you help us to understand the significance of this place to us. Help us, Lord, to think about what you have been doing in history, in this place, what have you been accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, help us, Lord, to truly understand its significance. Help us to know where we are at today and whether we can truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you that we are not bound to one place or one time or where we should worship you, but we, Lord, understood that where you are is where we want to be. So Lord, show us how we can worship you. Show us how we can meet with you each day of our life. We pray for those who are not sure of their salvation, those who have yet to experience the joy of worshipping you. Lord, may you show them, Lord, your truth and show them the way to be safe and the way to reach your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you do this work in our midst. As we're going to partake the cup and the bread and remember the Lord Jesus, may you search our hearts and teach us how to worship you. Pray in your precious name. Amen.